Welcome to the Miracle Camp podcast, and thanks for checking out this recording from summer camp. Please enjoy listening to our speaker from this week.
All right, let's start with a little fun, okay? Let's get our back sections involved a little bit more. Do I have any competitive people back here? All right. Stand up right where you're at, all right? Stand up right where you're at, Paisley. All right. Let's go orange shirt, stand up where you're at. Let's go right here, stand up where you're at. And stand up where you're at. All right. It's pretty simple. Over there, you might notice that there is a bag of Oreos on the thermostat. On your mark, get set, go! All right, very good. I got a consolation one here, too, for you, Paisley. All right. Hey, who won? Who won? Come up here. Come up here. All right. What's your name?
Kale.
Kale? You're pretty fast. Do you like to race? Yeah? What are your favorite things to be competitive in? Football and baseball. Anybody else like those? Is there anything else that you're competitive in? Okay. Why do you like to win?
It makes me feel good sometimes.
Makes me feel good sometimes? Okay. Sometimes there's a prize at the end. Is there anything silly that you get really competitive in?
With my siblings sometimes, yeah.
Yeah, anybody get competitive with their siblings? Yeah. Yeah. It's cutthroat, right? Doesn't matter what it is. For me, it's Mario Kart. Anybody play with Luigi? Yeah, Luigi fans. Let's see. Ping pong. I really get competitive in ping pong. Anybody play ping pong still? Yeah, that's a little bit old fashioned. Thank you so much. Let's give him a hand. It feels good to win. It feels good to be first. It feels good to be known as being good at something. And competition, though not all bad, it can oftentimes bring out the worst in us, right? Sometimes it brings out our anger. Sometimes it brings out our selfishness and our need to be in the spotlight. Competition's not a bad thing, but the problem comes when we have to be first or greatest all the time. And that can be in games, but that can also be in the classroom. That can also be on the stage. Competitiveness is ingrained in almost every area of your lives. Our culture lifts high the champion, the best. The first chair. Our culture trains us into thinking that we need to make a name for ourselves by being first or the best or the smartest so that we can achieve, so that we can get into the best college someday, so that we can have the most stuff because of all the money we've made from being great at something. The problem is when competition becomes all we care about. The problem comes when it's how we base our feelings about ourselves on whether or not we performed well or not. The problem is when we can't handle when others win instead of us or do better than us. It leads us to jealousy and envy. The problem is that oftentimes competition makes us think only of ourselves. The problem is, we serve a king who came to serve and who willingly chose to be last in many regards. Jesus is our serving king. And he came and spoke about a kingdom that valued very different things than the kingdom of this world values. So let's look at that story from Mark chapter 10. We're going to read verses 35 to 45. We're going to read the story where Jesus said, it isn't about being first. It isn't about being the greatest. Mark chapter 10, verses 35 to 45. And James and John, these are two of Jesus' disciples, the sons of Zebedee, they came up to Jesus and said to him, Teacher, we want you to do for us whatever we ask of you. And he said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant to us to sit one at your right hand and one at your left hand in your glory. In other words, in heaven. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you are asking. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink or be baptized with the baptism with which I am baptized? And they said to him, We are able. And Jesus said to them, The cup that I drink, you will drink, and the baptism with which I am baptized, you will be baptized. But to sit at my right hand and at my left hand is not mine to grant, but it is for those for whom it has been prepared. And when the other 10 disciples heard it, they began to be indignant at James and John. And Jesus called them all to him and said to them, You know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. But it shall not be so among you. Whoever would be great among you must be your servant, and whoever would be first among you must be slave of all. For even the Son of Man, this is another name for Jesus, came not to be served, but to serve, and to give his life as a ransom for many. Let's say a quick prayer. God, I pray that you would convict us of the times where we put ourselves first. I pray, Lord, that you convict us for when we take competition too far. Help us, Lord, to repent and turn to a life of service and humility, following in your footsteps, Lord. Would you please help us to take this one to heart today? I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. All right, let's work through this slide by slide, okay? Let's go to that first scripture slide. Let's talk about this a little bit. James and John, two of Jesus' closest friends and disciples, they come up to him and they basically say, Can we have a blank piece of paper to write down a request? Will you grant a request of ours? Which is crazy, okay, in the first place. But let's go a little bit further. Jesus said to them, What do you want me to do for you? And they said to him, Grant that we have the positions of power and prestige in the kingdom of heaven. We want to be, we know you're the top dog, but we want to be your right and left-hand man. We want to be your VPs. We want the positions of honor in your kingdom. This is outrageous. This is audacious. I don't know if you know what that word means. Audacious means that it's bold, but really it's inappropriate. Like, you really shouldn't go that far. It'd be like if I went up to some random person and I said, Buy me a Chipwich today. I mean it. Buy me a Chipwich today. That'd be crazy. We don't have a relationship. It would be very arrogant of me to expect that someone just out of the blue would do something really nice for me out of the goodness of their heart. So James and John are asking this audacious question. Can we be your right hand and left hand in glory? Let's go to the next slide. Jesus said to them, You do not know what you're asking. I would love to really get what was in Jesus' head during this story, because this is just a crazy story. Are you able to drink the cup that I drink? Now, this is confusing, okay? But let me just summarize it basically as saying, he's saying that in order to be great in the kingdom of heaven, you got to be a servant. You got to actually be willing to suffer and sacrifice. They do say, we are able. They probably stick up their shoulders a little bit. Yeah, we're able to do whatever you ask us. We can handle it. Again, I think Jesus is just cracking up internally. Next slide. Jesus did deal with them gently here. He does say, you know what? You guys will be willing to sacrifice for me. And they did. We know from history that these two men, they sacrificed a lot to follow Jesus and to take on his mission and message to a lot of people after Jesus was gone. James, we know, was executed for his faith in Jesus and for being outspoken in sharing the message of Jesus. John was exiled, meaning he was basically a prisoner sent to a faraway island where he died eventually in isolation. And it was because he was one of Jesus' disciples. It was because he was sacrificing for the sake of the gospel. Next slide. And when the 10 heard it, the 10 other disciples, they began to be indignant at James and John. Who knows what indignant means? Anyone? Not a word that we use every day. What's indignant mean?
Annoyed.
Annoyed. Yep. Anybody else? What's indignant mean? Yeah.
Angry.
Furious. Agitated. This is something that you and I can relate to. When we see somebody who is acting selfishly and trying to be the best or win, and we see that they're trying to cut some corners or cheat a little bit, what does it make us? It makes us mad. When somebody else gets the best grade on the quiz in class, you might get a little angry that you weren't the person that got the best grade in the class. That's kind of part of our fallen human nature. Like, we want to be the best. We all want that. And so the 10 see the two disciples asking Jesus this outrageous, audacious question, and they're just like, what are you guys doing? Who gives you the easy path? They were angry with the other two. And that's part of the problem sometimes of competition, is that competition can make us get angry with each other. It makes us not get along at times because we are competing for the same prizes. Let's go on. And Jesus called them to him and said to them, you know that those who are considered rulers of the Gentiles lord it over them, and their great ones exercise authority over them. What's the saying? This is basically explaining how it's typical for humans who have power to use their power for their own selfish gains. It's very common for those who have a little bit of power to try to get more power, to try to get a higher position, to try to be known by more people. Oftentimes in our society, it's all about who's in charge or who's got the influence or who, in your case, is popular. But what does Jesus say? Next slide. But it shall not be so among you. He's talking to his disciples, and his words speak to us 2,000 years later just as appropriately. Boys and girls, it should not be the case that you're obsessed with being known as the best or the greatest. You live in a different kingdom. If you're a Christian, you're living in God's kingdom. And what does God's kingdom lift up? Service. Because we have a serving king. In fact, in Matthew chapter 5, when Jesus is describing God's kingdom, he pronounces a series of blessings, the Beatitudes we call them. The blessings are on the lowly, on the weak, on those who don't have it all together, on those who are willing to be merciful and forgive, on those who are willing to make peace. God's kingdom has tremendously different values than the earth's kingdom. We need to understand that as Christians. It's not about being the best. It's not about being the greatest. It's not about getting all that we can for ourselves. That's the world system. He says, not so with you. The greatest among you will be your servant. And whoever wants to be first, you become a slave of all. Why? Well, look at the last verse. This tells us about our serving king. For even the Son of Man, which again is another name for Jesus in Scripture, he came not to be served, but to serve and to give his life as a ransom for many. Our king came down, humbled himself, became a human, which was an incredible sacrifice. He came to serve. He did that by helping all kinds of people from all kinds of places, some that were very similar to him, but many who were very different than him. He came to serve and eventually to sacrifice, to give his life completely for the sake of our salvation, so that we can have forgiveness of our sin and so that we can have eternal life in God's kingdom in heaven. We all like to be first. We want to be at the best seats at the table. We want to ride shotgun in the car. We want to be the one holding the trophy at the end. But if you want to be great in God's eyes, be a servant. Let others be first. Celebrate when others do well. Help others succeed. Do what you can to make somebody else's day. A negative story of this that I can remember from my school years was a guy named Joe on our high school football team. I loved football in high school. Our team was pretty good. The very last game of the season, we played our rival, and we won, and everybody was going crazy, except for one kid named Joe, who was sitting in the corner of the locker room acting like he was miserable. And we look at Joe, and a couple of us are like, what's up, man? Like, our team just won against our rival, and we won the league championship. And all he could grunt out was that, oh, I didn't play very well today. I didn't play very well today. That's backwards, right? But maybe in less extreme ways, when has there been time for celebration for everyone, but you've kind of been a little bit reserved in your celebration because you don't feel like you did very well? That doesn't come from a place of valuing others. That comes from a place of inward focus, of selfishness. So let's get practical. I really want this to be one that you apply starting today. How can we be servants? How can we put on this value of service that our King demonstrated? I'm going to ask for some help from you right now, okay? And on your notes, I want you to write down three columns. We're going to try to come up with some ways that you can serve your family at home. I want you to come up with some ways that you can serve at your church and school. And I want you to come up with some ways that you can serve others here at camp today and this week. Okay? How can you serve at home with your family? How can you serve others at school and at church? And how can you serve, even starting today, other people here at camp? Okay? I'm going to carefully exit the stage. No falls needed again today. All right, let me get some hands. How can you be a servant like Jesus wants you to be at home with your family? Can I get a few ideas? Yep. Okay, doing what you're told, that's a start, right? But we want to go farther than that, okay? How can you serve your family at home? Okay, She said, I usually don't like doing this, which I agree with you. Maybe letting your younger siblings in particular have a chance to win. Good. Okay, Bree. Helping others around your house? How? Yeah, so she mentioned house chores. Now, some of those you're just expected to do because you are a contributor to your family. What if you went beyond that and actually helped with things that you weren't asked to do? I think your parents would faint. They'd be so surprised because our natural inclination is not to do more than we're asked. But boy, you want to show Jesus' heart of service? Do more than you're expected or requested to do. Another one right here. Make a meal. That's a great idea. What else? Green shirt in the back. Help through the hard times. You can tell when your parents are having a hard day. You can tell when your siblings are down. How can you encourage your family members when they're down? That's a great answer. Okay? Let's get a couple more specific ones. Black in the back. Yep. Okay. Yeah, give a present. Make a snack. You guys all know how to pop popcorn at this point. If your dad loves popcorn, make him some popcorn without him even asking. He would be shocked and he would feel loved. Red. Go grocery shopping. Great. Good. All right. You've got some ideas from your peers. I want you to either write down or circle some ones on your notes that you want to intentionally or plan to do when you get home for your family. Another thing that wasn't mentioned that you could include would be just to play with younger siblings. Your siblings, if you have younger siblings, they look up to you. And for you to pay attention to them and to enter into activities that they like to do, man, that's going to show the love of Jesus in a very powerful way. All right, let's transition categories. How can you, and then start to write these down on your own, how can you be a servant at school or at church? Yeah, right here. Yeah, so some of you already do this, I think. She mentioned helping with the technology at church or at youth group or in the kids ministry. That's a great way of serving the Lord. And you know what? It's fun. It's really fun. Yep, go ahead. Yeah, use your talents. Play music if you can play music. If you're good at leading games, lead a game. To serve the what? The meals or the refreshments, good. You guys can help make the coffee. You guys can help set the tables or put up the tables. It's important that you, even at your age, start to see church as not just a place where you receive, but as a place where you give and where you serve. In the back. Help the elders, yeah. Make sure that those who are older in your church know that the younger people in the church care about them. Good.
At my church, I'm an elementary leader.
Good. That's great. Help out with kids ministry. They need your energy. All right, let's transition to school. Okay, we've done a lot of church here. How can you be a servant to your classmates, to your teachers, at school, and in your athletics? Okay? Yeah. Yeah, you can tell when people are having a bad day. What could you say? Or what could you do to help somebody through a hard time? Okay? Yep. Say that again? Yeah. Help somebody in the hallway. You can tell if somebody's struggling to keep their books in their backpack or to keep their backpack zipped. Maybe somebody drops something. You be the first one. As a Christian, you be the first one to help pick something up. Yep, right here. Yeah, help somebody study, okay? If you're getting the concepts, there's others who probably aren't. How can you humbly at least offer to help? Good. All the way in the back. Okay, say that a little bit louder. Yeah. And not, she said, help your teachers by picking up or by helping the classroom, the class transition, straighten the desks, make sure that if there's random things left behind that you go and take those to the people that are the owners of them. But remember, we got to check our hearts too, okay? We don't serve to elevate ourselves, so we aren't going to help our teachers to kiss up to them. We're just going to help because we love Jesus and we want to follow his example. All right, finally, these are the ones today. How could you serve someone at camp today? Good. One way you serve your cabin is by participating in the discussions, by sharing your thoughts, asking your questions. Good. Bree. Yeah, good. Pray for somebody, even with somebody. That's really intimidating for a lot of people, but I want to challenge you to have a little courage and actually say a short prayer for someone out loud with your arm wrapped around their shoulder. Yep, orange. Oh, yeah, sorry, maybe it's not orange. From here, it looks orange. Good. Good, yeah. Is it challenging sharing a room? Yeah, it is. So how can you help? How can you help everybody be comfortable in your room? That's good. All right, one more. Hang out with people who are alone. That's really good. And that would definitely make Jesus smile today. All right, I do want to highlight in closing that you have amazing role models here at camp of this. There are 45 summer staff members. There are 20 camp aides. There are 12 full-time year-round staff at this camp. There are 30 other part-time staff on the maintenance team and on the kitchen team and on the housekeeping team. Do you realize if you add those up, you're talking almost 100 people who are serving you this week? That's incredible. And you know what? When I think about when I worked at camp for a couple of summers, they were some of the best summers, but they were some of the hardest summers because you're working all the time. You're always responsible for something. You're always thinking about the next thing that you need to be at. And it's physically demanding and mentally and spiritually demanding. So at the very least, serve those that you see serving our camp by saying thank you to them. They've created a culture here at camp that's amazing, and it's because they're servants. It's because they're following Jesus' example. All right, let's throw up the last paragraph here. Okay, this really sums it up. Jesus came full of power and authority, yet used his high status for the sake of others. Jesus leads us by showing that true love manifests itself in serving. The high king came down, put on flesh, and he became a servant of all. He leads us by showing what true love looks like. And true love is when you're willing to serve and sacrifice and live for the sake of others. So let's try to emulate his example starting today.
Thanks for listening to this chapel session and for diving into scripture with us. We hope you've been encouraged in your walk with Jesus, and we hope to see you here at camp for next year's summer camp. So, thanks again, and have a great rest of your day.